Welcome to the Knox Soccer Podcast, where we tell the soccer stories of our favorite big town, little city, Knoxville, Tennessee, and around the world. I'm Patrick Teasdale.
And I'm Brian Canever.
Today's episode is a doozy. We put our names down on the wait list at the end of last season for our returning guest. We have Angelo Kelly on the pod, an alumnus of the Knox Soccer Podcast. But before we get to Angelo, Brian, how are you feeling after an electric start to the season? Three dubs in the regular season play.
You can't even be mad about the Open Cup elimination because we saw five goals in that match. But yeah, it's been what we've hoped for, what we asked for after a disappointing end to last season, that we would come out hot out of the gates, lots of new additions, including a man who was supposed to be a guest on the pod this very evening, but didn't show, unfortunately. We're not going to say who it was. We'll just say he's European, and you all know how I feel about European footballers. But we've had several new additions to the roster, and the team has started off on fire. Big win away to start the season, then two big wins at home. I was there for both those games with my kids. Unfortunately, Patty, for the home opener against Lexington, you know, it was freezing cold just like last year.
So cold.
And then in like the 70th minute, my daughter, she's like snot blow, you know, coming out of her nose. And I'm like, okay, let's just go. Let's just go. And then we're walking to the car. First goal, right? Get in the car on our way home. Second goal. Missed both of them. Fortunately, we were there for our guest this evening for Angelo Kelly's bombazo, his rocket against the Tormenta in the next league match in the 1-0 win. We're going to ask him about that in a little bit. But missed Asheville City. You and I were there for the Asheville City game 3 years ago in USL2.
Yep.
We drove with the boot. That was an incredible experience. We didn't get to attend this time. But yeah, it's been a great start. It's been an electric start to the season.
Well, let's get into it. Who is our magnificent guest? And let's get to it.
Yeah, so we've got Angelo Kelly, not Rosales, even though they keep saying that on the broadcast. Angelo, you need to call somebody and tell them to say your last name right. What's going on, man?
I don't know. Sometimes when you're like a Hispanic or Latino, you know, they get to use both of your last names. But at this point, I need to send somebody out to just use Kelly. It's too much of a long pronunciation.
Yeah, I think they want to practice rolling the R. So they're just like, Angelo Kelly, Rosales, you know, they're like, I took Spanish 4 years in high school. I just want to roll my R, but they can't do it. So Angelo, we're so excited to have you here. So the next game for One Knox is this upcoming Friday, Union Omaha, 6:30 PM. And I believe it's the world record foam finger night attempt. Every fan in attendance, they're going to get a foam finger. They have to wave them simultaneously to break the – I think this is going in the Guinness Book of World Records. Angelo, in all of your years of being alive on this earth and of playing soccer, have you ever seen potentially 3,000 foam fingers in one place before?
No, not at all. But that would be amazing if I get to be part of that. So – that'd be awesome.
Growing up as a little boy in Honduras, did you ever imagine one day I'm going to play before a crowd of people just waving foam fingers? Or would you have believed it if somebody had told you?
Nah, I probably would just tell you, it's like, what are you guys talking about? But now, since I get, you know, we're close to it, and, you know, that'd be awesome if I'm just get to be a part of it, you know.
That's awesome. Okay, Angelo. So we're going to get straight into our questions. We are not going to delay our eager listeners. You are one of the returning capitanos this season. Last season didn't end the way that everybody expected it to, that everybody wanted it to. The team didn't make the playoffs, struggled to score goals, had a very strong defense, which you contributed to. I think you played just about every position on the field last year except for goalie. And if you weren't getting red cards, you were scoring goals. So what we would love to know, what was the feeling like in the team after last season? What was the feeling like after last season? And how did you guys reset and then approach this new season?
I think from everything, just I think we could, from how we reset, it was just like we used last year as a nice guideline for us to improve, and, you know, what did we done good the good, meaning like how can we improve in the certain aspect, you know, keeping the ball better, you know, finishing our chances in the final third. So we have done quite well, but we still got to improve on little things. And, you know, once again, we used that guideline from last year of the things that we didn't do well. Once again, how we turn those bads into goods and goods into improving them into a much better. And I think we've done that, especially with the guys coming in. So
what was the feeling like around the team? Like what were some of those goals that you didn't meet, especially you as one of the three captains along with Jordan Skelton and Ilya Illich, who's now on the coaching staff? You know, what was the feeling like, you know, for you guys as leaders of the team about where there were missed opportunities?
I think the feeling is just I think it's frustration and a little bit in a lots of disappointment, just because, you know, once again we had the best record in the league for defending, but at the same time we had it at the opposite side of not scoring. So like, you know, we worked so well, you know, behind but not going forward. So I think it was just a lot of frustration and, you know, a lot of disappointment, because once again, at the end of the day, you want to get rewarded. And once again, you win football games by scoring. So sometimes your best, you know, defense can be your best. It's the best offense. So,
all right. So a lot of personnel changes leading into this season. We saw new players come in from the start. Siver Haugli from Norway has come in, former Des Moines Menace defender, played with Coach McKeever in the past. We expected him to be in the back. He's been playing that number, we call it number five in South America. They call it number six in Europe, that central defensive midfield role. Stuart Ritchie came in playing wide back. Innocent and Schutte's come in at forward. Kempis. People say Kempis Tequila. I want to say Kempis Tequila. I'm fascinated by the fact that his first name is Kempis, like Mario Kempis, the Argentinian striker. There's been a lot of new players that have come in, made an impact. For you, you were there last year. You're here this year. What is the process of building chemistry between everybody and incorporating those new players been like?
I think it's been awesome. And the way we have built chemistry this season is by, once again, you know, taking that blueprint and a guideline from last year to whatever that little chemistry that we have with the returners this year. And then, you know, us improving us players and, you know, how can we get everybody else to buy into the process, to the system of what we have. And, you know, so far I think we've done a very good job, you know, bringing those guys in, the new guys, and obviously, you know, having individual conversations, group conversations about, you know, the expectations and everything. And, you know, once you get everybody on board, you know, that's just, you know, then you get end product at the end, you know. But like, once again, we still got little things to work on, little by little.
Can you give us any insights into what that process looks like? Like, you get all these new guys that show up, they show up to the first practice, and then you guys, different languages, right? Kempis from Germany, Sivi, he's played in the US, but he's from Norway, Innocent from Rwanda. Like, what is that like for the team day to day?
It's hard to share, but it's kind of, you have to be there in order for us, you know, how we are just very together with each other. You know, we get to just hang around the locker room, hang around the football pitch. You know, we get to have like small conversations, you know, to a group conversation. We get to hang out a lot after training, and, you know, stay during training to do extra stuff. And those little things just kind of build up towards, you know, the chemistry itself, you know, get to know each other personally as well. You know, that just the football side, but also the human part, you know, get to know, you know, hey, where you from? How you know, how's life over there? What's different? Do you like America? You know, especially for those new guys that come from Europe itself, you know, it's very different. So, you know, at the same time, when you kind of open your arms to somebody that's coming new, they feel like more into opening up to you. And that's how you little by little, you get to build that connection. And then it kind of slowly translate, because you get that trust, you know, that feeling that, hey, you know, he has my back, I have your back. And that's how we're able to translate that little chemistry back and forth. So.
So a lot of you aren't from Knoxville. Besides the academy players, there's no Knoxville natives in the team. So what do you guys do for team bonding or for hanging out? Like, we're both old guys here. We're both in our 30s. A veteran, sorry. You're a veteran. You've been around the game. You know, I remember like watching videos of the pros when I was younger, and it's like everybody played FIFA, you know, everybody was like on their PS2. Yeah. Old videos of like Messi and all his teammates playing FIFA. So what do you guys do to bond and hang out?
A lot of the guys, for the most part, you know, if they're not coaching in the academy, or like myself and other guys, you know, I think they're mostly going out for coffee, going on walks together. You know, once they, or they go to the coffee shop and play cards with Jalen. Jalen's a big man on that, playing 22. So a lot of guys just go there, play cards, or sometimes they just go downtown and go on a walk. Just walk around, get to explore downtown little by little, you know.
Okay. Do you have a, have you found your own favorite little place in Knoxville yet? Favorite place to eat, favorite place to, there's some Honduran spots. They're kind of hidden, you know, around town, but
Yeah. They're like, you know, I'm looking for a hole in the wall kind of spot, but so far I haven't found one yet in downtown. Maybe I need to drive a little bit, you know, more outside in there. But, you know, we've been very busy. We know it started with preseason and all that stuff, and you know, it's kind of hard to sometimes to get around when you get little time. And obviously, you know, I'm a veteran, so I have to, you know, take care of the family and stuff. So time is very, very in the essence.
Take care of the family, take care of the muscles. You got to be there, you know, like massaging the muscles. That's I broke my foot playing rec league soccer in one of the one Knoxville leagues a couple of years ago, and I was talking to my dad. I was like, Dad, you know, I'm a veteran. I was 32 at the time. And I was like, that's when Batistuta retired. You know, that's when everybody's getting out of the game. He's like, you're not a soccer player. You're a grown man. Stop playing soccer like this. And I was like, Dad, you don't understand. Okay, let's get back on track. We've grown kind of used to, for those of us who watched last year and in that USL2 season, the way that Coach McKeever likes to set up his teams with the three big guys at the back, the wing backs, the two holding midfielders, two attacking midfielders, and the center forward. We see new personnel come in. Sometimes the team has looked different. Expected to see you in that holding midfield role, and I've seen you playing higher up the field this season, and it's paid off because you had that bombazo against the Tormenta. Have there been shifts in the system or the tactics, or even just like the approach to how you guys go into the 90 minutes this season from last?
I think compared to last season to this year, I don't think has been anything, you know, different in a change of system. I think we have improved the system. We have learned it, you know, for the most of us, we learned it, and we still teaching it and to the newer guys how to do it, where to be, you know, how to, you know, press, how to do that. We're still getting, like, once again, it's a working process, but I think we have improved the system in a ways to where we're able to switch it up however we want, you know. And don't want to share too much into details, but at the same time, you know, once you not to make it too long, we go back to last year as a blueprint, you know, use that once again to improve it, and so far it has worked. So I still got plenty of work to do to make it even better.
Okay, so tactically, little shifts. It just happens to be that it's clicking more this year than it was last year.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, because at the same time we have the personnel that, you know, lights it up more, gives them more energy in certain positions. You get more quality in a certain position that you were not getting from it last year. So, and then once again, there's a lot of good guys that came in, and they're ready to compete, and they got the quality for it. So, you know, the level has raised up. So, cause at the same time, if the first guy can't do it, the second guy will do it even better. So, you know what I mean? So it's competition. So people have to step up.
Yeah, I think that's what I've realized just looking at the players that have gone out on the field these first four or five games, is that there is now so much competition for a place, where last year, you know, Yesin was a guaranteed starter. This year, Yesin hasn't really started. Charlie Matchell came over from Lexington, captain there. He's gotten some game time, but not necessarily a starter. Then, you know, some of the familiar faces that we have from last year who returned, who I was actually kind of surprised that Rodolfo and Gio came back, also alums of our Latino episode last year. I was excited. I was glad to see them back. So it's been interesting for us as fans and viewers to see how everybody's mixed in. And I think it was especially exciting in the cup match to see some of the newer players like Kempes get some time, get his goals in. And now I think that's why we're kind of bummed, because now that you don't get that experiment anymore in the cup, the league is different. Though we do get to see some internal cup games coming up soon, so that should be another fun thing to look forward to as fans. Speaking of fans, how have things been between the players and our fan base, which was so excited to see the return of the league, the Scruffs? You know, we had the chairman of the Scruffs, Tim, he was on the podcast last episode. There's been a new entrance into the stadium for the players before you guys walked out through the tunnel. Yeah. Now you walk out among the fans. You've now been here for over a year. You've been embraced by the community here. So what's it been like seeing the fans again, being back in the stadium and watching, you know, everybody cheering you on, celebrating, seeing fans around town, probably? What's your relationship with the fans been like this year?
I think it's awesome. You know, we grew together, you know, and stuff, you know, compared to last year. And I think, you know, our relationship has grown bigger, you know, as you stay in a club for a year, you know, the years and years come afterwards. So you get to have a, you know, a closer relationship with the fans, and, you know, it's a small town as well. So, but at the same time, they got a big heart with everybody. So I think it's been a good relationship. And once again, we get to build it more and more and more. And we're excited to get back in the field, and then we have done it, and we've given the fans what, you know, they were wanting last year, a glimpse of it. But, you know, once again, we still got lots of work to do.
Yeah, very early on. So we saw you score that goal from distance. I was actually so unfortunate, man, that I was watching my kids. My kids were like wrestling. They were wrestling. We were on the little mound on the hill watching. So we were like right there when, you know, like I think it was Jordan like ran into the signs and stuff like that, fell over. It was exciting. And then I turn around for a second because I think my son is like eating the grass or something. And then it's like, and then I see you running off with like that silent celebration with your finger over your lips. You know, I was able to watch the goal afterwards. It was a stunner from distance, you know, rocket goal. What's the deal with the celebration? I want to know.
So, honestly, long story short, we had like the day before the game, we had kind of like a play that ended up in my feet, because whatever, we sent a long ball, obviously, to CV. And then CV laid it off to me. Obviously, this is just like no defending, no nothing, right? Open net. And, you know, I come to support to CV on the play, right? And I try to hit it with my left foot and practice. And I just went poof, over the woods, basically into the street. And everybody's like, nah, you're not hitting this. You're not hitting this. So, I mean, and then obviously in the game, I got it. I turn and I just hit it. I connected very well with it, you know, as hard as I could. And then I kind of just, that just motion popped in my head, memory. I was like, you know what? Just like, I can hit it with my left foot. So that's how that celebration came on. So it's just like, all right.
So it was more like silencing your own teammates than silencing the fans or any criticism. It's like, you're all haters. You're all haters. This is for the bench. This is for everybody who doubted me on my own team.
Honestly, because I could hear, you know, when I had the ball and I turned it, it was like, obviously a lot of people were like, oh, pass it. Or, you know, Frank Ross was on a run and a great run. And the next one, Stuart Ritchie on the other side asking for the ball, but everybody was just asking for it. But I was like, nah, let me hit that.
All right, Angelo. I got to ask, let's talk about this hair. Last season was the long flowing locks with frosted tips. I'm thinking it's like an early Man U Beckham. Now this season, you're like fully buzz cut, like a late Man U Beckham, maybe Real Madrid. So are you in your revenge era? From your answer and your goal celebration, it sounds like it, and we love it.
Yeah, no, honestly, I don't know if you can say phases or anything, but like the short buzz haircut was an accident. I was meant to have it like long platinum, but it kind of backfired a little bit. So I kind of just decided to go for a buzz haircut and go white. So that's the story behind it, but I can use that as revenge. So, you know, got something to prove this year.
Yep. Let's go.
Yeah.
How often do you have to color it?
I just dyed it like about a month and a half ago. So now it's starting to grow back. So the little bit of black, so I might have to retouch it sometime this week just to get the black off of it. If not, I just let it grow and it just grows into that frosting tips. So I don't know. Maybe keep it long again. Who knows?
Yeah, I tried to do the frosted tips when I was in 7th or 8th grade. It was like the Dawson's Creek era here in the U.S. And I asked my mom to do it. And my mom's like a cheap Hispanic woman. So she went to CVS and got like the cheap one. She did it herself in the kitchen, like just put a towel on me, did it herself. And I was a little bit of a chubby kid back then. And so some of the kids used to call me Hamburger. That was the nickname that they made for me. And I showed up with this frosted tips and people were like, Cheeseburger. I remember running by the soccer field where I remember running by the soccer field where I used to play with like all the kids, and they're like, "Cheeseburger, what's up, cheeseburger?" And I was like, "Man, I'm never doing that again." And now I'm losing, you know.
Hey, you can never, never know. You can always rock it back, you know. Just now, you can get it done properly.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's back on track. Back on track. So still early in the season, Angelo. But if you've had to choose some favorite moments from behind the scenes, some stuff that fans haven't been able to see, you know, haven't been able to experience, like give us a little bit of a look. What have been some of your favorite moments so far?
So far, I think it's just the group itself, you know, when we get to, I don't know, just kind of be together and a warm up. So we have a different style of warm up this year to where like we have a circle, right? To where like we put like 22 mats and we just circle, kind of do like a yoga into mobility, to where that's pretty cool, you know what I mean? To where we all together just facing each other in a small circle while doing some exercises, you know, and then afterwards we just kind of walk into the pitch, get into the, to the, you know, activation of touching the ball and getting our tactics or gameplay on and stuff there. So I think that's really like a cool change of scenery, and it, you know, and it helps with to interact where like you're not on your phone, you're not doing anything, you have a teammate beside you or, you know, stretching with you, so you're able to have a conversation and stuff. So I think that's the best part for me.
All right, cool. Well, man, we've made it through these questions fairly quickly. Amanda, fewer words. Angelo, I got to ask, I look at you guys out there. I went on the roster yesterday on ESPN, and I was just like, sorting it based on height, just because there are some really big dudes on the team. You know, It's like you've got Civi at 6'5", Jordan and Jalen at 6'4". You got a couple of 6'2s, you know, and then there's some, I think Kingsford is at the bottom of the table, 5'5". And you're like,
don't tell him that.
Yeah, I saw you and Jamesy listed at 5'8", and I'm like 5'8", and I was like, I don't know. I think you guys might be on your tippy toes getting that 5'8". I don't know.
We'll see.
But all different styles, right? It doesn't mean size doesn't count for everything. So if there were a one Knoxville fight club, or let's say a one Knoxville wrestling club, because you don't want to ruin the pretty faces, you don't want to get blood on the frosted tips. Who wins in a wrestling match? If there is an all-out battle, I want to know, based on the personalities, based on the bonding, you know, who should we put our money on if the apocalypse comes and the one Knox players have to have it out against each other?
I would say Frank Ross. Frank Ross is a sneaky one.
You would not think,
but he's a sneaky guy. Yeah,
whoa. Was not expecting that one.
Is he going to get like a glass bottle and smash it across your head, or is he going to, you know, bite your ear off? What's Frank's like?
just letting you know, he has that Scottish blood in him, so he has a little bit of, you know, little bite in him. That's what I would say.
Okay, so Frank Ross, number one. Who else? I think Jamesy's pretty scrappy because I've seen him on the field talking some smack, you know, and I think he can get pretty intense. I'm excluding you because we've seen you at times. I think last year, I can't remember if it was you or if it was Gio who got the red card. No, it was, I think you each got a red card for kicking somebody in the face.
No, that's not me. That's Gio.
Gio had the kick in the face red card.
My red card was like the goalkeeper jumping over me and he just landed.
Yes. And then he did the backflip and almost decapitated himself. Yes. I remember this. Who else are like the scrappy ones?
I would say also Jordan Skellion. He's a little bit, you know.
Really?
Yeah, he has another little bit of a strong bite.
Yeah, exactly. Skelt's just getting in there and bossing him around. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's your type of guy that will go headbutt somebody for sure. 100%.
See, and then I think there's a couple of nice, who are the nice guys, you know, because I'm like Danny Fernandez, you know, we call him the Spanish Bull, but he seems like a pretty nice guy. Sean O'Hearn, he seems like a pretty laid back, chill guy. Innocent. I mean, he's got innocence in his name. This guy's not going after anybody.
But, you know, hey, as they say, the quiet ones are the worst ones. So you can't even trust a nice face. So I'll tell you that for a fact. That's why I picked Frank Ross.
All right, Angelo, I don't have any more questions for you. Patty, do you have any questions for Angelo?
Angelo, I've seen your baby boy at practically all of the matches last year. I'm the new father. I have a 3-month-old James.
Awesome. So congrats.
What's the trick? What's the secret sauce of having your kid at the match and not melting?
I think Milo has just grown into the guys to where, like, I know, I think there's no secret. I think at that point, everybody in there is just like a father figure to him, because he just goes to anybody in there. So I think that he's well taken care of. So I don't think I can share much of a secret.
That's so cool. That's awesome to hear that Milo is around the guys and sees them all.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. For my biggest thing is, I mean, we're not from here, so Milo gets to grow up with them, you know. So Milo gets to see them every day. And my biggest thing for me, it was, you know, when I first had him, it's like, how can I have him around me all the time and all the guys, you know? That way, he's able to just always be around me, be around other guys, and he enjoys it. He loves it, you know. And then, as you probably seen him last year, he would love to get on the pitch. Now he's able to walk, run. So now he's able to, I bring him like a few hours before the game, you know, and then just get him out there in the field, and he gets just to kick the ball around, get to be around the guys, you know. So I know that's just a cool experience for me as a father, because, you know, I always want to look back and be like, you know, hey, he hang out with me during my playing times, and then hopefully he's able to remember a little bit by pictures or videos of seeing him. Oh, I used to hang out with my dad in the locker room with the guys and everything. So hopefully, you know, I'm cherishing those moments now, and then hopefully he appreciates them later. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. He will definitely.
Yeah.
Well, Angelo, thanks so much for joining us on the Knox Soccer Podcast. We greatly enjoy it. And hey, you're welcome back anytime.
No, thank you guys. I appreciate it for you guys hiring me. And, you know, next time we could always have it in Spanish or something. You never know.
Next time, I think what we need to do is, you know, one of my best friend, he actually just left Knoxville. One of my best friends in Knoxville is from Honduras. He moved to Dallas, but we used to always get Honduran food together. And there was a great spot, kind of close to downtown. It's closed since. Sabor Catracho was really good. We go to La Limpira, and I actually, my wife is very American, doesn't like international food, doesn't like weird food. She'll eat Mexican food because she likes queso.
You need to throw a little bit of salt in her food at least. Add some flavor or something.
Nope, she won't do it, man. She won't do it. So, but every year for my birthday, I get to pick an exotic restaurant. I get the exotic, you know, with quotations, restaurant to take her to. And we went to La Limpira, which is a Honduran restaurant. It says Mexican, but it's owned by Hondurans, and they have a Honduran menu. It's in West Knoxville, and that was amazing. So,
really? What do you have there? Do you have like
Yuca con chicharrón. No, man. I got to get
yuca,
that.
Yuca.
I love that chicharrón, man. Yeah, so yuca with chicharrón, and then, what do you call the Honduran tacos? Doradas, or they're like the Honduran version of tacos.
Taquillos. They're like taquillos.
I like, of course, in case none of my friends from back home in Bayonne, New Jersey are listening to this, but I was a big fan of Salvadoran pupusas. Now, my Honduran friends have told me that Honduran pupusas are better. My Guatemalan friends have told me that Guatemalan pupusas are better. But I mean, I'll eat any pupusas, but I like the Salvadoran ones. So, but I have had pupusas there as well.
I think that's just a matter of a preference. You know what I mean? I think some of them will tell you this better. Some of them, they'll tell you theirs is better. But I think I think for the best choice, it's like you got to have them all three at your table. Then you can decide.
All three?
Salvador, from Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. And then you're like, all right, let me be the one that decides here for you guys.
Okay, that's what we're doing next, Patty. All three international pupusas, same time. We're going to do it in person. We're going to get the club to pay for it.
You never know.
We'll invoice Drew.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody, Angelo, thank you for joining us. Remember, Friday night, big night, world record foam finger night. There's going to be so many foam fingers. Do it at least for the look on all of our international players' faces when they're like, "What is soccer in America? Like, what is going on here?" Because I'm sure this has never been done in Norway or in Germany or in Ghana or in any of the other nations mm-hmm. represented.
Yeah.
This is a beautifully American, beautiful Knoxvillean thing. So make sure you come out, you get your foam finger. Every single fan, Patty, every fan gets one. I think you could probably double or triple up, man. The kids can get some foam fingers. You know, it's going to be awesome. Maybe one for each hand if they've got extras. I expect to see Milo walking around with his foam finger.
Even your baby even Milo can have one and the other baby mm-hmm. as well. So
it's true. And one Knox is even going to sweeten the deal. One of those foam figures is going to have a Zach Bryan country music ticket. And honestly, I'm more of a Garth Brooks guy, kind of classic country. But then my wife Hillary turned me on to I Remember Everything by Casey Musgraves and Zach Bryan. And woo, man, that is a song. I want those tickets so bad now. So I'm going to get as many foam fingers as I can. Fingers crossed, I get those tickets.
Hey, you better take your kid too, Tom. He got two hands too.
Yeah, that's true.
Increase your chances.
Next game, Friday, Union Omaha, 6:30 p.m. At halftime, world record foam finger night, waving all at once, trying to say a world record. But the record I'm looking forward to is bringing in another dub and getting top of the league. So go one Knox.
Let's do it. Go one Knox. We'll see you guys on Friday. We'll be back with a new episode very soon. Hasta luego.